الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما سيدنا ومولانا الإمام أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام وحفيده وحفيده الإمام المهدي المنتظر أرواحنا لمقدمه الفداء وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. In continuation of our series on the great women of mankind, tonight I'm going to speak about a very special lady, very special mother, very special wife who is related to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And she deserves to be addressed and to be mentioned and to be remembered and to be celebrated because of her biggest sacrifice for Islam. That lady, when she was young, only 20 years old, in the city of Medina, in her parents' house, one night she saw a dream, very amazing dream. She saw in her dream that there is a big star that is falling down in her house, and followed by four smaller stars who all descended into her house. And it filled the house and the neighborhood and the city of Medina with shining light. So she woke up in the morning asking her mother, what is the meaning of this dream? Her mother, who was also wise and experienced, she said to her, my daughter, the interpretation of your dream is that soon you're going to marry a great man, and from that man you're going to have four children, and those children are going to bring light to their communities. That lady is a Sayyida Fatima bint Hizam bint Khalid al-Kilabiyya, better known for Ummul Banin alayhi salam. Great lady. Maybe her eldest son, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, heard the story of how his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, married his mother only a few hours before his martyrdom. At the age of 34, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam heard the story of how his mother married his father only a few hours on the eve of Ashura by his sister Zainab alayhi salam. Abu al-Fadl asked women and children to stay in the tent on the eve of Ashura. And he was the main guard, guarding the camp with many other youth, younger youth, like Ali al-Akbar, al-Qasim, and some of the companions. So he would not sleep during the night because his role is to protect women and children from the enemy. One night, and that was the last night of his life, the night of Ashura, the eve of Ashura, he saw something dark moving among the camp. Among the tents. He said, Man hada? Who's there? A voice came back saying, Ana ukhtuka Zainab. I am your sister Zainab. So he said, Sayyidati. He would address her. He would never say sister. He would never say to Imam Hussein, a brother, Sayyidi, my master. This is how he addresses Imam Hussein, my master. This is how he addresses Lady Zainab, Sayyidati, my master. My master, why you are here outside? Qirri wastaqirri. Have peace of mind. I'm standing guarding the camp. No one is going to attack you. She said, I know you are here. I know. But I came for a reason, for a purpose. Kharajtu li'uhadithaka bihadith. Important thing I want to share with you that you don't know about it. you are hearing it for the first time. She said, أخي أبا الفضل لما ماتت أمنا فاطمة we were stricken with the loss of our young mother at the age of 18. Our mother Fatima died. حزن عليها أبونا أمير المؤمنين حزنا شديدا. Our father Imam Ali عليه السلام went into a period of intense sorrow and sadness for the departure of his sweetheart Fatima عليه السلام. And after many years, about 15 years, طلب عقيلا وكان عارفا بأنساب العرب. He reached out to his brother عقيل, and عقيل had an experience about the families and the tribes and the households of the Arabs at that time. He knew all the families, he knew their children, he knew their lineage, he knew their family trees, he knew which family was good and which family was not. So he said to him, أخي عقيل اخطب لي امرأة ولدتها الفحولة من العرب. I want you to go and propose to our household, to their daughter, and that household should be a household of bravery and magnanimity among the Arab tribes. Aqil said to him, وَمَا تَصْنَعُ بِهَا يَا أَبَا الْحَسَنِ Why do you want a family, a lady who belongs to a family who is brave? His answer was, the answer of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was, لِأُرْزَقَ مِنْهَا وَلَدًا أَدَّخِرُهُ لِيَوْمِ الشِّدَّةِ So, I can have from that lady, from that mother, a son that I save him and reserve him for the day of distress. And then Zainab alayhi salam says, أخي أبا الفضل, tonight is the time that your father Ali wanted you for. He saved you for this time, the day of Ashura. You have to protect your family, your children, your sisters. They are looking up to you for protection. Abu al-Fadl, he hears the story for the first time. That he was raised, his father married his mother Umm al-Baneen for this purpose, to defend the truth, to defend Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to defend the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen has altogether, he has 27 children, sons and daughters, 27. Five of them were from Lady Fatima alayhi salam, Al-Hasan, Al-Hussein, Zainab, Ummi Kalthum, and the baby that was killed. And the mother had miscarriage, his mother Fatima, because of the incident of the door, crashing the door on her after the departure of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that baby was Al-Muhsin, who died prematurely. So five children from Fatima, and four children from Fatima binti Huzam ibn Khalid Al-Kilabiyya. Four children, and those four children are Al-Abbas alayhi salam, Uthman, Abdullah, and Ja'far. Something also very interesting happened during the eve of the wedding of Imam Ali when he married this lady Fatima. Her name is Fatima. So Imam Ali, when he married her, the first night he asked her, ask for a wish. I will grant you your wish. Ask for anything. And listen, this lady was a very honorable lady. Honorable in terms of not being attached to this life. She could have asked for some jewelry. she could ask for, let's say, a golden ring. She could have asked for some clothing, for some money. But she never asked about these things because she married the richest man after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She married the richest man in terms of akhlaq and faith and sacrifice. So she asked him, she said, Ya Abul Hasan, Ya Abul Hasan, my wish is to change my name. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, what is wrong with your name? Your name is beautiful. She says, I know. But I don't want, when you call me by my first name, Fatima, that my masters, Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and Umm Kulthum, they hear the name of their mother, they get broken again. They get sad because they remember the tragic death of their honorable mother, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. So please change my name and don't call me by Fatima. So he decided on that night to call her from the first night, to call her Ummul Baneen. And subhanallah, the mother of the sons, and she had four sons, no daughter, four sons from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. He married her when she was 20 years old. On the year 26, the year 26 of the Hijrah, same year that he married her, on the 4th of Sha'ban of that year, the first son came to this world, the first son of Ali and Ummul Baneen, and that is Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salatu wassalam. So Abu al-Fadl, on the day of Ashura, he was 33 or 34 years old. And then after him, many years after him, 9 years after Al-Abbas, Abdullah, the second son, came. And 1 year after Abdullah, 1 year, Uthman came. And 5 years after Uthman, Ja'far, the last son, came into this life. And all four of them, they gave their lives and their souls on the day of Ashura, defending Islam, defending Abu al-Fadl, defending Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Abu al-Fadl asked his three siblings that you have to go first. I have to make sure that my brothers, they go first, because I don't want anyone to change his mind later. I make sure that they go first, and then I am going to follow them. His siblings, they went first to the battlefield, and they were martyred. And then after that, in fact, Abu al-Fadl Abbas was the last person, because Imam Hussein did not give him permission. He said to him, "Anta liwa'i, hamilu liwa'i, wal-alamatu min askari." You are the standard bearer. You are the commander of the army. If you go, the army is going to be shattered. So you have to stay until the last minute, when Abu al-Fadl came and he insisted. He said, Sayyidi, I cannot hear the cries of the children crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, we are thirsty. Give me permission to go and fight. So he was the last one to go to the battlefield. Fatima bint Asad, Fatima al-Kilabiyya, Umm al-Baneen, married Amir al-Mu'mineen, and she was prepared from the first day not just to be a wife, but to be a mother too. And my friends, being a wife, being a husband is not a great deal. But being a good father or a good mother, it's a great deal. It's a big deal. It's a big responsibility. Sometimes the husband and the wife, they don't have children. They live like friends. They have peace of mind. All what they worry about is their food, their drink, their mortgage, their car payment. But when they have children, it's not just about food or drink. It's not only about the mortgage. It's about how to raise and protect and maintain those children. Because those children are amana, trust, given to us by God. It's a gift. All our children, they are a trust given to us by God. God says, I keep those children with you. You take care of them. Promise me you take care of them. Promise me you raise them. Promise me you teach them. Promise me you make them strong. Promise me you inspire them. Promise me you teach them manners, akhlaq, adab, mannerism. It's a big responsibility. Having a family, it's a big responsibility. We the fathers have to be role models. We should not fight at home with our wives. Because when we fight with our wives, it is going to reflect on the children. Children see, children hear, children watch, children memorize. It destroys them. Children, when they see their parents fighting, maybe they don't say anything. Or maybe they come and say. But if they don't say anything, it does not mean that they don't hear, they don't understand. They pick up everything. And we are sending them wrong messages when we fight among ourselves. It destroys their personality. It destroys their character. It hurts them a great deal. It hurts them emotionally, psychologically. So we have to be responsible. I sometimes say to the parents who want to fight, they can't stop fighting, they act like, you know, second graders. I say to them, if you want to fight, go somewhere else, not in front of your children. Don't fight in front of your children. Go lock the room or go outside, go to the beach, go somewhere else, and play boxing with each other. Enjoy your time. But don't do that at home. Don't do that in front of your daughter, in front of your son. Don't. Because you are corrupting your children. You are hurting them. You are hurting their psyche. And the psyche, if the psyche gets wounded, then it is very hard to recover. If your children, they develop depression, anxiety, confusion, it's very, very hard to recover later on. Be careful. You have a trust, amana. Whether you have one or whether you have 10, those are a trust given to you by God. Treat your wife in a good way, in an honorable way at home. If you want your children to treat you good, if you want your children to treat their wives and their husbands and their neighbors good, then you must treat your wife good in front of your children. Or you, the wife, you must treat and respect your husband in front of your children. It's a big responsibility. Fatima, Umm al-Baneen, she was so humble before Amir al-Mu'mineen because she knew Amir al-Mu'mineen married her to establish a good family, strong family, to have a strong and healthy children. She was very humble and she passed the test. God says in the Quran, in chapter 33, he talks to the wives of the Prophet. He says, you, the wives of the Prophet, you married a Prophet. You married someone religious. You married someone who's a teacher, who's a leader, who's a role model. So if you want to be greedy, if you want to be attached to this lower life and ask for materialism, continuously ask for money and for, let's remodel this, let's buy this, let's do this, then that is not good. You are going to hurt the message of the Prophet, the image of the Prophet, the role of the Prophet. You are going to hurt and compromise it. This is a verse in the Quran. Ya Nisa al-Nabi. In kuntunna turidna al-hayat al-dunya. If you are attached to this hayat al-dunya, to the luxury of this life, which has no end, فَتَعَلَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. The Prophet cannot entertain you financially. He can. He has limited budget, limited income, and he has to be a role model for the poor, for the deprived, for those who don't have money, for those who don't have food. He has to be. A Prophet cannot lead a luxurious life. He has to be a role model for the rest of the community. The Prophet has to host in his house some poor, some needy, some widows, some orphans. He cannot afford luxurious life. But ta'alain, it's better that you come to the Prophet, he will give you your mahr, and then he, in a peaceful way, he will release you. Release you in the Quran means divorces you. But if you have something else in your mind, if you are tolerant, if you live up to your responsibilities, وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Three things. You are in love with God, you are in love with the Prophet, you are in love with the hereafter. Your goal is the hereafter, not this life. Then, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْ كُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. God has prepared or will prepare for the righteous one among you. لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ. Remember, not all of you, not all the wives. لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ. The righteous one, the benevolent one among you, أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. An abundance of reward is going to give you. So the wife of a leader should understand that she also should be a role model. A leader whose family is broken cannot get his message down to the masses, to the community. Today, people look at the leader not only at what he says, but what he does too. At the way he conducts himself at home, in public. So if he's not having good family, harmonious relationship with his family, people are not going to believe in him. People are not going to trust him. Ummul Baneen, she was up to that responsibility. She knew that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a leader, a role model. Therefore, she sacrificed. She was the best mother. And guess what? She would not put her children first, though her children were much younger than Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and Kulthum. Much younger, maybe 20 years younger, maybe 12 years younger, or 17 years younger. But she will always give a preference to Hassan, Hussein, Zainab and Kulthum. Why? Because they are the children of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. You know, after Fatima alayhi salam died, Imam Ali, while he was married to Fatima, he didn't marry another lady. Fatima was the only wife. After she died, he married several wives. One of them, her name is Khawla bint Ja'far ibn Qais, and her last name Al-Hanafiyya. And she delivered a baby boy called Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. Sometimes you hear this name in the history, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. This is the son of Imam Ali, but from a different wife. One day Imam Ali himself, he said to Muhammad, his son, he said, Muhammad, my first children are Hassan and Hussein. You are the second. Muhammad said, why? He said, because Hassan and Hussein are the children of Rasulullah. You are my son. أنت ابني وهما أبناء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So excuse me if I put them first, because they are the children of the Prophet. I have to give them that, accord them that honor, that respect, that priority. They are the children of the Prophet. You are my son. But Hassan and Hussein are the children of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the Quran. The Quran says, تعالوا ندعو أبناءنا وأبناءكم. The Prophet is telling the Christian delegation, we bring our children and you bring your children. So when the Prophet went for the dialogue, مباهلة, he took Hassan and Hussein. The Quran says, our children, the Prophet refers to Hassan and Hussein as being his own children. One day, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya was asked, the son of Imam Ali, why, when it comes to the war, your father dispatches you first and then he takes care of Hassan and Hussein? He said, you know why? Because Hassan and Hussein to my father are like his eyes. I, Muhammad, to my father like his arm, his hand. And a person defend his eyes with his arm. A person always, you protect your eyes with your arm, because your eyes are more important. So I represent the arm to my father. Hassan and Hussein alayhim as-salam, they represent his eyes. See, the brothers, they respected each other. This is how Imam Ali raised a good family. A good leader is not just himself good. He raises a good wife, good children, good sons, good daughters. He teaches them. Our role is not just giving food. Our role is giving ta'lim, ma'rifa, education, manners, good examples. This is the role of the parents. And therefore, I'm telling you, the young generation here, one thing I'm going to tell you, and you're going to realize the meaning of what I say when you get married and when you have children. Be respectful to your parents. Respect your parents. Respect to our parents should be our priority in this life. I know our parents are not infallible. They are not ma'soom. They have mistakes. They have some failures. But we as children, we have to respect our parents. Don't yell at them. Even if you disagree with your father, don't scream at your father. Even if you don't like what your mother is doing, don't call her bad names. Respect your parents. When you respect your parents, you're going to grow. You're going to enjoy life more. You're going to be a better example, a better son, a better daughter. And tomorrow, you're going to be a better father and a better mother when you respect your parents. And by the way, that is the fastest highway to God. The fastest highway that takes us, there are many highways that takes to God. The fastest one is birrul walidain. When you are kind and humble and helpful to your mother and your father. So, Ummul Baneen, she gave a priority to Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and Kulthum because they are the children of Fatima alayhim as-salam. The children of Fatima. When her father, when her husband, Amir al-Mu'mineen, moved from Kufa, from Medina to Kufa, she moved with him. Ummul Baneen, she was in Kufa, the period that Imam Ali spent in Kufa, less than 5 years. And when he was martyred, she was there. Like last night, she was in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen, comforting him. And all her four children were there when Amir al-Mu'mineen was struck with the sword and ultimately he passed away like last night or like today, the 21st of the month of Ramadan in the early hours of the morning. Umm al-Baneen, she witnessed the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And her four sons also, they were there around Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And then she went back to Medina until the day of Ashura. There is some dispute among the historians. Some of them say she did not survive until the day of Ashura. She died before Ashura. But the majority of them, they say, no, she was there. And she sent her children. She stayed in Medina, but she sent her four children, Al-Abbas alayhi salam, and his three siblings to help their brother, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in Karbala. And then when Bashir came back, when the caravan came back, Imam Zain al-Abidin said to Bashir, "Ya Bashir, I want you to precede the caravan. Go inside Medina and tell the people about the news and ask them to gather around the Haram, the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qabr al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Bashir came, raising his voice, "Ya Ahla Yathrib, Ya Ahla Yathrib, Ya Ahla Yathrib." They came out, "Wal mal khabar? What is it?" He said, "La muqama lakum biha." There is no more peace and stability in this city. They said, "What is it?" He said, "Al khabaru 'inda qabr Rasulillah." Gather there, I'll break the news to all of you. The entire population of Medina, men, women, children, they gathered around the grave of the Prophet. Eventually he came. He said, "Qutil al-Husayn. Qutil al-Husayn. Fa'admu'i mitrar." I am bringing this sad news of the martyrdom of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn in Karbala. That lady, Umm al-Baneen, she came to ask him the details. So when she approached him, first question she asked, historians, they say, she has four children in Karbala. She never asked about her children. She said, هَلْ لَكَ عِلْمٌ بِحَبِيبِيَ الْحُسَيْنِ. Do you know what happened to Hussein? He said, I asked, who is this lady who's asking? I just announced that because she was distraught, she couldn't hear it very well. She couldn't process what she heard very well. So I asked people, who is she? They said, this is Umm al-Baneen, Umm al-Abbas wa ikhwatih. This is the mother of Abbas. I said to myself, subhanallah, she doesn't ask about her children, she's asking about Imam Hussein. So I said to her, عظم الله لك الأجر بولدك عبد الله. عبد الله has gone. She said, فداء للحسين. He's ransom for Imam Hussein. عظم الله لك الأجر بولدك جعفر. She said, he's a ransom for Imam Hussein. Let him defend his master Hussein. Tell me about what happened to Hussein. I told her, عظم الله لك الأجر بولدك عثمان. She said, هَلَّا سَمِعْتَنِي سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ أَوْ. I didn't ask about my children, I'm asking about Hussein. And then I said to her, عَظَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكِ الْأَجْرِ بِأَبِي الْفَضْلِ الْعَبَّاسِ. He said, when she heard the name of Abu al-Fadl, she screamed. And then after that I said to her, عَظَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكِ الْأَجْرِ بِأَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ. She cried, oh Hussein, oh Hussein. And then she turned to the house of Zainab alayhi salam. Lady Zainab asked people not to come and visit her on that day, the first day of arrival, because she wants to mourn Imam Hussein privately in his house. So while she was mourning with her sisters, with the family of Ahlul Bayt, someone knocked at the door. So the lady went to open the door. She came back. She said to Zainab, Sayyidati, inna imra'atan muttashihatan bis-sawat, covered with the black. She stands at the door. She is asking for permission. And she says, my name is Umm al-Baneen. Lady Zainab said, iftahi laha innaha sharikatuna fil aza. Yes, this lady is a special lady. Allow her to come inside, because she's our partner in mourning and sadness. Once Umm al-Baneen came and she looked at Zainab. The moment she looked at Zainab, she said, wa waladah wa husaynah. She remembered Imam Hussein. Zainab alayhi salam answered her, wa akhahu wa abbasah. This is the great lady, Fatimatul Kilabiyya, Umm al-Baneen, the loyal wife to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam, and the caring, loving mother to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and his siblings. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. My friends, tomorrow night is the last night of Qadr, the eve of the 23rd. The eve of the 23rd, the most important night of the night of destinies, Layali al-Qadr. We will begin at sunset with Salat and Iftar, and we will continue until 4:18 a.m. with Salat al-Fajr, inshallah. We will recite many du'as. So please, when you come tomorrow, try to bring with you your personal Quran and your personal book of du'a. Try to bring it with you, carry it. So you can use your own book when you recite the dua, inshallah. Try to have wudu when you come, inshallah. Of course, you're going to have wudu for the Maghrib prayers. I estimate that we continue reading the du'as and the Quran and the a'mal until 2:30 in the morning. At that time, we're going to do suhoor, inshallah. We're going to eat. And then we continue again after that. We have one more hour from 3 to 4. We will do Salatul Layl, the Tahajjud, and the private du'as, inshallah, until Salatul Fajr. So try to have some rest tomorrow. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. You have no school, no work. Try to sleep. try to have some rest and try to drink some coffee at sunset, inshallah, so you can stay up, because this is alone night, alone. This is not a night that is happening throughout the year. Only once a year, and God says about that night, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. So don't miss that night, please. Please don't miss that night. Try to stay awake. Try to spend time with your Lord, because you need your Lord. You need to pray. We need prayers. Prayers are going to change our life, transform our life. So we need to pray to receive God's, number one, forgiveness, because we have many sins. And number two, to receive God's protection. We need God's protection. And I ask you to join me in reciting this verse for our dear brother Aya Jawid Mushfiq, who's recovering in the hospital from a very, very terrible accident. Very terrible accident. And he's crippled, so he is in the hospital. Please join me in reciting this dua. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muftar idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su' 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 Amman yujibu al-muftar إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وتقبل أعمالنا وتقبل صلاتنا وصيامنا وقرآننا ودعاءنا واستغفارنا في هذا الشهر العظيم واجعلنا من عتقائك من النار. Join me in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha for the mother of Brother Jawid, Marhuma Habiba Mushfiq, and also the four young Lebanese men who lost their lives in a car accident 4 days ago. Their mothers, their families are in a very, 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 very terrible, sad shape. So please pray for their mothers to receive the peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pray for these souls by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.